Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast. I'm Andy Eubank on the 30th of May, 2024. Joining Eric Pfeiffer with news today, including the EPA proposed herbicide strategy that would be quite burdensome for farmers. We also have a crop update from North Central Indiana. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has drier weather the next couple of days. And the Wednesday Ag Markets sold off. We'll have analysis with Arlen Suderman and market settlements, too, on the Hat Thursday podcast, made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com to learn more and stop by your local branch to talk about your ag operation today.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal opportunity lender.
Your herbicides may be at risk in a planting update from North Central Indiana. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. It could revolutionize farming, and not in a good way. I'm talking about the Environmental Protection Agency's proposed herbicide strategy to comply with the Endangered Species Act. Kyle Kunkler, Director of Government Affairs for the American Soybean Association, joins us on the latest Indiana Ag Policy Podcast from Hoosier Ag Today to explain.
If this thing were implemented tomorrow, 80% of our farmers would be non-compliant, and about 50% of them would have a pretty significant implementation burden to bring their farm up to compliance, to continue to use the pesticides that they're currently using on their farm, to say nothing of new pesticides. I mean, we're looking at potentially billions upon billions of dollars in costs for implementing this thing.
The good news, it won't be implemented tomorrow, and the EPA is listening to farm groups like ASA. EPA wants more conservation practices, like using cover crops and reduced tillage to be able to continue using pesticides. But it's going to take a lot more than just doing those practices, things that Kunkler says farmers aren't currently doing a lot of.
They could be things like riparian buffers, vegetative filter strips, grass waterways. To put those in on one field, maybe not a big deal. Extrapolate that. What's that going to cost to put those in across 1,000 acres? You know, 2,000, 5,000 acres, you're looking at, you know, significant, enormous cost for an individual farming operation. And then if everybody, you know, and all of their neighbors are trying to do this all at once, you're looking at, and this was a USDA estimate. They did an analysis for herbicide strategy. They said one crop, corn, in three states, Iowa, Illinois, and Nebraska, could cost those farmers as much as over $5 billion to implement this thing. And so we're talking about the risk of potentially putting a lot of farmers out of business.
Kunkler says if you're not in the know on this, you need to be. It's coming whether you like it or not. Learn more on the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast, available now at HoosierAgToday.com and wherever you listen to podcasts. Although later than what many would like, 2024 North Central Indiana corn and soybean crops are off to a good start. That's the assessment from Daniel Stauffer, field sales representative at Channel Seeds, as he speaks with our Andy Eubank.
Planting progress got a nice bump throughout the state and in his territory in the last week, even with plenty of rain events.
The positive out of all of this is that last week to 10 days, a lot of seed got in the ground here in North Central Indiana, and a lot of folks made some good progress getting seed in the ground and getting a good start with the temperatures we have.
Stauffer says farmers are concentrating on helping the crop get off to the best start possible. Weed control heads the list.
Getting nitrogen on in a timely manner, getting control of these weeds because they were 2 to 3 weeks ahead of our pace from a spray standpoint. A lot of growers were waiting on seed to get in the ground to keep their spray pace going. And so getting control of weeds. And then we have heard a few spots here and there of some insects. Some Asiatic beetles have been found in some fields that cause issue with seed in the ground, seedlings. as well as some armyworms has been found in some wheat fields. So just keeping an eye, watching your fields, scouting to see if any sort of pesticide application needs done.
As wet as it has been, North Central Indiana is set up for disease to move in, so he said a fungicide application would be wise. Stauffer said that decision will be a balancing act given current commodity prices. One approach could be an early application at half rate,
and then come in with a full rate of fungicide later in the growing season, depending on what we're seeing in the fields.
More with Daniel Stauffer is in the Full Hat interview and Channel Seeds update at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Andy Eubank.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
As a lending cooperative owned by farmers, Farm Credit Mid-America is committed to securing the future of rural communities and agriculture. That's why our customers have had access to agricultural loans, leases, and crop insurance from a lender who is focused on farmers' futures for over a century. Visit us online at fcma.com to experience what it's like to work with a lender who understands farmers' needs. Loans and leases subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender and provider.
Attention farmers and equipment dealers, are you tired of premature wear and tear plaguing your John Deere combine? Say goodbye to frequent replacements and hello to durability with meticulously crafted John Deere wear parts from Eile Fabrications. Eile uses superior metal materials to ensure extended wear for your combine. Their premium quality parts won't break the bank. Elevate your harvest season. Visit Eile Fabrications online, ihlefabrications.com. Restore, protect, repair. Eile Fabrications.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We've got some drier weather in over the Hoosier State for the next couple of days. Mostly sunny skies today and tomorrow. Good evaporation, no new moisture. Absolutely ideal days. Now, is it enough drying after the moisture that we saw that we can do anything with? That depends on where you are at. I'm sure there will be a little bit of field work trying to be done in some parts of the state. We're going to keep this dryness around overnight to tomorrow night into early Saturday morning as well. But by Saturday midday, our next frontal boundary is going to be knocking on the door. We'll see scattered rain showers here anywhere from a quarter to three quarters of an inch of moisture for Saturday afternoon, Saturday night. We'll take a bit of a pause, but then moisture comes back Sunday night into early Monday, an additional tenth to half an inch. We are rather unsettled for most of next week. Monday through Thursday, I see about 3 to 4 waves of moisture that want to come through. The biggest ones will be Monday afternoon, Monday night, and again a Tuesday overnight into Wednesday. But I think we're going to be able to put together combined for that 4-day period, Monday through Thursday, anywhere from a half to 1.5 inches of rain with coverage at 100% of the Hoosier State. So take advantage of any dry window opportunity you have, because it may be a minute before we get another one. We do start to dry down late next week, Friday the 7th, and we are seeing signs that most of the western part of the country is going to be drying down significantly. However, we still have a very active precipitation tracker, active pattern flowing out of the eastern Canadian prairies right down across the upper Midwest and into the Great Lakes region. Until that pattern breaks or changes, I think we're going to be having moisture stay nearby and slightly cooler temperatures in here as we move into the middle of June. That pattern seems relatively strong, and it's going to be one that is really going to upset the apple cart in terms of getting dry days together back to back to back here, and definitely getting any heat in. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
From the Farm Bill to foreign farmland ownership and international trade, ag policy is having a big impact on Indiana farming operations. The Hoosier Ag Today Indiana Ag Policy Podcast provides in-depth coverage on these and many other important and complex issues. Get the details behind the headlines with the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast, hosted by Eric Pfeiffer. You can find it at HoosierAgToday.com, the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app, and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
A sell-off across corn, soybeans, wheat, and many other commodities for that matter as well. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Farm Market Review. A strong dollar index Wednesday wound up pressuring many commodities, the grains and oil seeds among those. We'll have settlements coming up. We begin, though, with market analysis. I grabbed it at the end of trade from Tom Fritz, EFG Group. Let's start with a look at the corn and soybean markets. Lower in the overnight session after that one-day delayed crop progress report. Good progress, and the impact seemed to carry on over into the daytime session.
You're absolutely right, Andy. You don't need me to tell you that. No, I think, the trade looked at the planting progress. You know, here we are, at or near the five-year average. In fact, in corn, we were, a percentage point better. The only laggards are not big producing areas. You look at Kentucky, Tennessee, and Pennsylvania. They were the noticeable laggards. Now, some folks will jump up and say, well, what about Iowa? They were 4%. Four percentage points behind their norm. Yeah, they're 88% done. They should be 92% done. And given forecasts that we've got coming in, I think Iowa is not an issue. I see some drying, a drier pattern developing here. It's not going to be totally void of rainfall, but, I think they're going to be able to get their remaining 12% done in a relatively timely fashion. So going forward, it's kind of like, yesterday the corn market tried to get some strength from the wheat market. The wheat market gave up its strength today. So what does the corn market have to, stand on its own? I don't think it has much. Yesterday it was announced that Argentina is close to supplying corn to China. We're seeing the harvest starting to run down in Brazil for their second season corn crop. So I would fully expect the export market for the corn, U.S. corn, to dry up noticeably in the coming weeks. So without a weather scare, we tried to play the, delayed planting, but, what did that get you? It got you what? A little bit of a springtime rally that really acted as incentive to get your butt out there and plant. And so I think that's been done. What do we have next? Until a legitimate crop scare comes along, I think this corn market's destined to drift lower. What's a legitimate crop scare? Hot and dry. And right now I'm not seeing that in the near-term forecasts. The wheat market, U.S. wheat, we're a follower. We followed the European wheat markets, given what they did on Monday. We were closed on Monday, so Monday night we played a lot of catch-up. And, we finished higher in the wheat market yesterday, but given where we closed in response to the highs, not a real convincing performance. And one thing I couldn't help but notice today, that when the wheat market was trying to rally back, in fact, it was in the process of coming off its highs, we were still slightly higher on the day, the nearby contracts were noticeably weaker than the deferred contracts. So that tells me we're building carry into the price structure, and that's reflective of a lack of demand up front. That's not bullish. So also adding to the wheat market's woes, the dry areas of Russia, we've heard this before, but once again, they have forecasts for rain later this week. And, if it does come to fruition, it's not too late to benefit the Russian wheat crop in that southern district. You have to remember, if you look at your parallels and latitudes and all that, the winter wheat areas of Russia, they're about a month later than where we are here in the U.S. So it won't be too late, if they get some decent rain. It won't be too late to benefit their crops. So I think that and a forecast for some rain in the Kansas area suggests that, where's our wheat market going to go? Now, today's break could just be all part of the volatility. I still think we're going to be dictated by what happens with the Russian wheat crop and how the European wheat markets react to it. European wheat markets today were in a consolidation phase with slightly easier price levels. So, but given the volatility that we have here, we added a little bit more to the bear side of the equation. Looking at the soybean market, okay, you know, yesterday they said we are at, 66, 68% of, 68% planted. The norm is 63%. The only laggard was Iowa, down 4 percentage points of their norm, 73%, which personally I don't think is a big deal. Couple that with the forecast that we have, and I think it's common knowledge that U.S. soybeans don't have much demand. You know, last week we tried to rally the market on the lost production out of Rio Grande do Sul due to the flooding. Well, look where we are right now. You know, we've totally erased that rally. So what does that say? There's plenty of beans out there. Soybean meal is the lion's share of the crush, and soybean meal is your leader to the downside, as it was yesterday. So when the meal market gets hit like it has the last 2 days, it's very, very difficult for the soybean market to rally, even sustain a rally. You know, I've said if the meal market's only slightly lower and bean oil is noticeably higher, strengthened bean oil will keep the bean market alive. That's all it will do. Well, here you have meal down, 16 dollars in 2 days, and soybean oil just up, 50 points in 2 days? That's not enough to keep your soybean market alive. So I also think the renewed strength of the dollar weighed on us on a broader scale. But the bottom line, as far as I'm concerned with the corn crop, the soybean crop, we don't have anything to hang our hats on right now. It's going to get planted. We don't have a weather play, at least not in the foreseeable future. Not to say we're not going to get one later on in the summer. Summer is just barely getting underway. And a lot of folks are saying, don't forget about the transition from La Nina to El Nino. Well, it hasn't happened yet. And, you know, with the moisture that we've had this spring, we've developed an excellent amount of subsoil moisture. So if we do get into a hot and dry, and if it's only for a brief period of time, the crop can handle it. So right now, the market's going down on a lack of what I think is sustainable bullish news.
Tom Fritz there, EFG Group. Now settlements, corn and wheat ending on about their lows for the day, 455 and a quarter on the July corn, 7 1/4 lower. And December goes 6 1/2 down to 478 3/4. Also more of a drop in the bean market after the middle of the session, ending down 15 1/2 cents on July, 1214. August, 15 1/4 lower. November, down 13 3/4, settling at 1196 3/4. And July wheat, 692 3/4, down 7 1/2 cents. The meat's lower too. June live cattle, 183.35, $1.20 lower. Very flat in the hog market, but June loses 2 cents. Nevertheless, 93.77. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Farm Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.